is the essence of the people's welfare as well as adherence to the divine path. Imam Ali alayhi salam. Hello and welcome to Horizon Magazine. I'm Mariam Haqju. And before we begin today's program, I would like to express my condolences in Imam Baqir's alayhi salam martyrdom anniversary. Islamic worldview, justice denotes placing things in their rightful place. It also means giving others equal treatment. In Islam, justice is also a moral virtue and an attribute of human personality. As it is in the Western tradition, justice is close to equality in the sense that it creates a state of equilibrium in the distribution of rights and duties, but they are not identical. Sometimes justice is achieved through inequality, like an unequal distribution of wealth. The Quran, the sacred scripture of Islam, considers justice to be the supreme virtue. It is a basic objective of Islam to the degree that it stands next to an order of priority to belief in God's exclusive right to worship and the truth of Muhammad's prophethood. The Quranic standards of justice transcend considerations of race, religion, color, and creed, as Muslims are commanded to be just to their friends and foes alike, and to be just in all levels, as the Quran puts it. O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice, as witness to Allah, even if it be against yourself, your parents, and your relatives, or whether it be against the rich or the poor.
We can say that the Museum of Money is the first professional museum of coins and banknotes established in Iran. The theme of the objects kept inside this museum is based on the sample of coins minted, distributed, and circulated in Iran. The emergence of the first banknotes, as well as the printing, distributing, and other processes these monetary units undergo in Iran, are exhibited in this exhibition. The visitors are provided with some data in this regard. We have the first coins in Iran from the Achaemenid dynasty. During the reign of the Darius I, they put the first mints in Iran and produced the first coins out of gold. The coins, which are known as the Persian Darik throughout the history, are weighed about 8.42 grams. It is said that the Achaemenid coins are of high purity or carat. Only about 3% impurity exists in these coins. The high purity gives special credit to these coins in the era of two great emperors of Persia and Greece. This credit is given so these coins would turn into the basis for transaction and exchange of money with these gold coins in different regions. At the same time, there existed silver coins. These coins were made of silver and were called shekel, and it was minted as a harmonious monetary unit.
Thank you.
Another development in the Achaemenid era is the portrait of the kings on the coins. Some of them are seen on their knees with arrows in their heads and donned with their crenic crowns and their long cape-like robes. It was for the first time in the Achaemenid era that the portrait of the kings was shown on the coins, and this trend continued for a long time to come. During the Achaemenid dynasty, we had different types of governing, called satraps, or states, which are subcategories of the Achaemenid ruling. They were granted permission to mint coins. Based on the religious beliefs of the elements of significance for themselves, they could use the images on their coins and use them in their transactions. It was so until Alexander of Macedon campaigned against Iran, and after his invasion and takeover of Persia, the Achaemenid ruling was overthrown. There are some coins related to this period which show Alexander and his successors who ruled Persia during that period, as well as their influence on coins after that era. It means that Persian rule takes power under the Parthians. In governance, their coins are influenced by the coins from Alexander and Seleucid eras.
This week we have an Islamic site that we would like to show you.
Isargaran News Agency is one of the most active and prominent websites in covering and releasing reports on holy defense and Islamic revolution devotion in Iran, providing the audience with online news and news reports on these influential and important areas. Isargaran News Agency was opened on February 1st to the 11th, 2012, to keep alive memories of martyrs and devotees of holy defense. The news agency mostly works on pronouncing memories of the holy defense, reciting martyrs' wills, showing the capabilities of Islamic revolution devotees, releasing the latest news and developments on Islamic revolution, devotion, and investigating the rules of this important and influential area. The news agency also collects different rules on Islamic revolution devotion in its interviews and meetings with the Islamic revolution devotion officials, including Iranian parliament members, in order to boost, implement, and remove some probable defects and faults in the rules. The news agency invites all interested individuals to email their works and news on Islamic revolution devotion to info@isarkhabar.ir or info@isarkhabar.ir to help the media cover Islamic revolution devotion news.
Isargaran News Agency was opened concurrent with dawn this decade, the Dahe Fajr of Iran's Islamic Revolution, February 1 to 11, 2012, to keep alive memories of martyrs and devoted of the holy defense. The news agency mostly works on pronouncing memories of the holy defense, reciting martyrs' wills, showing the capabilities of Islamic revolution devotees, releasing the latest news and developments on Islamic revolution devotion, and investigation the rules of this important and influential area. Reporters of the news agency are mostly from Islamic revolution devotees and their families who report the events, news, and problems of this area at Isar Khabar. The editorial board of the news agency has been comprised of disabled war veterans with 17% disability and children of martyrs running the organization by the help of Islamic Revolution Devotion Organizations. The editorial board, which includes 14 desks is after keeping alive memories of the 8-year holy defense and Islamic revolution through reciting memories, images, reports of operations, reciting martyrs' wills, interview with martyrs, mothers and fathers, disabled war veteran and free men to analyze the current situation of the society of devotees. Presenting scientific, cultural, sports and political activities of the society of Islamic Revolution devotees and supporting presence of Islamic Revolution devotees in political areas are some other goals of the news agency. This organization, which is a source of reports on Islamic Revolution devotion, include 40 desks of International Islamic Revolution Devotion Memories of Islamic Revolution and Holy Defense Image Interview Received News and Main Stories, Division and Holy Imams Analysis, Operations Rules of Devotion and Martyrs' Wills. The news agency also collects different rules on Islamic Revolution devotion in its interviews and meetings with the Islamic Revolution devotion officials, including Iranian parliament members, in order to boost implement and removing some problems, defects and faults in the rules. The Secretary of International Desk identifies the history of Islamic Revolution devotion in other religions and nations and reflects selflessness of Muslims across the world. The news agency holds festival for super media in the area of Islamic Revolution devotion. The annual festival aims at spreading in culture of Islamic Revolution devotion and martyrdom and appreciates the media which specifically deal with devotion and holy defense news. Jury members of the festival are disabled war veterans with 70% disability who observe and monitor the media atmosphere of the country and identify and introduce to the secretariat the media and reporters who have any special innovation of or news pages in areas of Islamic Revolution devotion, martyrdom and holy defense. Media sensitivity to Islamic Revolution devotion related issues, introducing media activities in Islamic Revolution devotion and martyrs areas, introducing Islamic Revolution devotees who have personal blogs and websites of on holy defense are other goals of festival.
The centrality of justice to the Quranic value system is displayed by the following verse. We sent our messengers with clear signs and sent down with them the book and the measure in order to establish justice among the people. The phrase our messengers shows that justice has been the goal of all revelation and scriptures sent down humanity. The verse also shows that justice must be measured and implemented by the standards and guidelines set by revelation. Islam's approach to justice is comprehensive and all-embracing. Any path that leads to justice is deemed to be in harmony with Islamic law. God has demanded justice, and although He has not prescribed a specific route, has provided general guidelines on how to achieve it. He has neither prescribed a fixed means by which it can be obtained, nor has He declared invalid any particular means or methods that can lead to justice. Therefore, all means, procedures, and methods that facilitate, refine, and advance the cause of justice and do not violate the Islamic law are valid. For being with us till now, and now let's go see this artistic report together.
I'm Feridun Mardani, the secretary of the 10th International Bismillah Festival. This festival is held annually in the holy month of Ramadan. Every year, we issue a call for the festival 6 months prior to the festival. This year, we had made three calls for the occasions, namely for the poster section, the logotype section, and the calligraphy section of the veterans and masters. The jury picked 200 works out of the 7,000 works submitted to the secretariat of the exhibition. About 120 works were on the graphics and animation, and the 80 others were for the calligraphers and veterans. Masters such as Amir Khani, Kabuli, Haydari, and other prominent figures in calligraphy had participated. The number of works in this year's graphics section was less than logotype. In the international section, we received some 1,200 works, out of which 9 were given the thumbs up for the exhibition by the jury. Some works from Pakistan, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Bosnia, Morocco, and Turkey could reach the final round. This festival was aimed at making fertile grounds for cultural ties and exchanging experiences of Islamic communities and other monotheistic faiths in the art, making the ground for artists from all across the globe to take part in the Quranic fields and providing grounds for simultaneous competition for all of these works, honoring creative efforts by artists in the realm of spiritual arts, distinguishing top works and introducing them to international art circles, and making ample grounds for the renowned contemporary graphics masters and young enthusiastic artists at the same time. On today's schedule, we will unveil the festival book. This book, in fact, contains two parts. One part is on the veterans and masters of calligraphy, entitled The Treasure of Bismillah, and the second part is on the works by artists of graphics and animation at the 10th International Festival, which is called the Treasure Lodge. Meanwhile, a ceremony to award top artists and those singled out by the jury is on the agenda. During these programs, we also held 3 ceremonies for establishing new locations. The first ceremony was attended in this cultural eco-institution by the Honorable Minister of Culture and ambassadors from Islamic countries. A number of artists and ambassadors from Muslim nations took part in the second ceremony, which was held at the Niavaran Cultural Center. The third event was held simultaneous with the inauguration ceremony of the Iranian President Rouhani in the Exhibition Hall of the Parliament, in which ambassadors from Islamic countries who had gathered for the inaugural ceremony, as well as artists who had delivered their artistic works, took part.
Welcome back to our program. We would like to read some of the emails we've received from our dear viewers about suggestions and comments regarding our program. Our first email is from Abu Muhammad, who says he was told about our show by a friend and tries to watch it regularly. Although he lost it on his satellite, he says he's happy he can go and watch it on the website. Thank you. Our second email is from Abdullah, who says he just found out about Horizon and was very intrigued by the show. Our third email is from Javad, asking why it's so slow to download the show on the website, and says he hopes any technical glitches will be solved as soon as possible. And lastly, our email is from Davood, who says he wants to know if we can come and cover a show on Persian carpets because he thinks they're very beautiful, but quite pricey in this part of the world. He finds the designs and textures to be exquisite and extraordinary. Once again, thank you so much for your emails. We look forward to reading them and looking at the comments and questions and opinions to try to apply it to our future programs. Thank you so much. Any information regarding our program, you can definitely visit our website. We also have previous archives that you can go view, or our current programs that you can view and download. So please don't hesitate if you need to have any information about the programs. Visit our website at english.sahartv.ir.
Last Sunday on Pure Home, Sahar Haqdu talked about a panic disorder which affects 6 million people and is twice as common in women than in men. She discussed this subject with Dr. Hashim Reza, a psychiatrist from London. And apart from here and there, Farhad Bafaju picked an article that would be very helpful for those who are at risk of having diabetes. Researchers have found that a type of medicine which is used to treat skin disease can be suggested to people with type 1 diabetes. According to the study carried out by researchers from Indiana University and other research centers in the United States, the psoriasis drug has proven to treat aspects of type 1 diabetes. This week's story was about the king and the fish from Persian folklore stories. Last Monday on the last episode of Iran Travel Guide, Mohsen Nazaran, the host of the show, traveled to Kish Island. It's part of the Hormozgan province of Iran. Due to its free trade zone status, it's touted as a consumer's paradise with numerous malls, shopping centers, tourist attractions, and resort hotels. He then went to Tezerj Waterfall in Hormozgan province, then to the Burujerdi House, a historic house in Kashan. The house was built in 1857. It consists of a rectangular, beautiful courtyard, delightful wall paintings by the royal painter Kamal Ulmulk, and three 40-meter tall wind towers which help cool the house to unusually cool temperatures. The house took 18 years to build using 150 craftsmen. Then he went to Abyane, Shemshak Ski Resort in Tehran, Chehel Sutun in Isfahan, the Old Bazaar of Isfahan, and Shurmas Lake in Mazandaran province. Last Wednesday on Standpoint, ethics and whistleblowers was a topic with guests Chris Bambry and Christopher Walker. They asked the question, do whistleblowers really help society, and does the public really care about what they expose? Edward Snowden is not very well known in the UK, and whistleblowers in the US are often seen as unpatriotic. Generally, the public doesn't accept whistleblowers within the system, but do accept investigative journalists who expose confidential information. Finally, last Thursday on Spotlight Middle East, the host of the show, Farah Atwi, discussed the long, fractured relationship between the United States and Iran, which took a significant turn last Friday when President Obama and President Rouhani became the first leaders of their countries to speak to each other over the phone. This was the first direct communication between an Iranian and a U.S. president since Iran's Islamic Revolution of 1979. During this telephone conversation, Obama and Rouhani stressed Tehran and Washington's political will to swiftly resolve any crisis or even resolve disputes over Iran's nuclear program, which the United States, Israel, and some of their allies falsely claim to include non-civilian components. To discuss these updates and about the Iran and the U.S. new diplomacy, we are joined by Dr. Mohsen Saleh, a researcher and a political analyst.
Hopefully this week's program was enticing for you, our viewers. We are definitely trying to take all the input we receive and imply them into our program. So if there are any other changes that you guys suggest we make, please don't hesitate and send them to us. We'll definitely try to input them in the program somehow. And till next week, take care and God bless.